Hello and welcome to Cooking Your Way Through Life.
Today's episode is Cooking Your Way Through the Fear of Moving On. And today's recipe is an apple cheesecake crumb pie. Yeah.
Cooking Your Way Through Life is a podcast combining knowledge of the kitchen and applying it to real life situations. This podcast is all about understanding techniques to make things you already know even better. Topics from traveling on a budget, setting and achieving short and long-term goals, and of course, cooking.
On today's episode, we tackle some fears that we've had in our own lives about moving on, from personal lives to work lives to everything in between. We also give you some tips and tricks about, you know, just getting out there and doing it. Russ is going to make this amazing dessert, which is a cross between an apple pie and a cheesecake. And yeah, it's something that I kind of just made up. So get ready.
Please welcome Chef Hollywood.
All right, guys, welcome back to the episode of Cooking Way Through Life with me, Chef Hollywood. And today we have a blast from the past. She has not been on the show since season one, but she is one of the few chefs that I've invited on the show for no particular reason, but
only because I'm awesome. Few.
And she's really good, as you just heard herself. Her name is Chef Lean out of New York, otherwise known as Kathleen. And yeah, welcome back to the show. How you been?
Thanks for having me. You know, a lot has changed since season one. So many things. But I'm still a chef. So, you know, that hasn't changed.
Awesome. So today we are going to cook our way through the fear of moving on. And we're also going to make a recipe which pushed me out of my comfort zone. It was actually inspired by Chef Lynn because she has a recipe that's similar to this. I'm going to take, this is my take on her recipe. So we were just talking about this before air that we pretty much just recycle recipes over and over again as chefs. But I didn't want to directly take my friend's recipe and just like pass it as my own. So yeah, I just kind of manipulated it a little bit and made it a little bit of mine with her essence in there.
I appreciate that. But, you know, we're just copying and remaking and doing things over and over.
True that. So we are going to make a apple cheesecake crumb pie today, guys, which is a take on a apple cheesecake that Chef Lean inspired me. And yeah, I just never thought about putting apples and cheesecake together. But then I thought about it and I was like, that sounds really delicious. So I don't really make a lot of pies in my regular life. But the last time I really was making pies was when we used to work together in a way, yeah, which is on America's Best Kitchen. Yeah, it's a pie workshop. Man. That was more pies I ever made in my life because I don't really make pies at home. So this is a good take me back to that kind of mode. And the cool thing about this is, though, I feel like pies are a great introduction if you don't know how to bake very well, because it's not super, I don't want to say it's not super technical because I don't want to take away from it, but.
I mean, pies in general are like two pieces, right? The crust and the filling. So if you think about it like that, it's not like a lot of mixing and measuring in that case, like when you're making a cake with like icing or something like that. So yes, I get what you're saying. It's a little more simple, but there is an art to it for sure.
Yes. I feel like because I don't have to frost it, it definitely keeps me, you know, from overthinking things. Mm-hmm. So. You know, it's done when it's done, which I really like. So as she just mentioned, yeah, pies really fall into a two-part category. This one is going to be three just because we're doing a crust on top of it. So the first step we're going to do is get our, we're going to do a crumb coating on top of it, not the crust on top. But the first thing we're going to do is get our crust together, which is going to be pretty simple. Easy ingredients, which would just be your flour, sugar, salt, cold butter, so you want that to be diced into cubes, apple cider vinegar, and cold water. Now, as I mentioned time and time again, I'm not giving you measurements, and that's because of the fact that I really do have a cookbook coming out, guys. I promise y'all. I keep saying it on here so that I can keep myself accountable. I promise it's coming.
Yes, so we're excited for this cookbook with the exact measurements.
Exact measurements, I promise. So for your crust, a couple of the things I just mentioned are very important. The cold butter is super important, and the cold water. They kind of keep your crust from pretty much being too liquidy because the fat would be melted. So you kind of wanted to have a sturdiness when you make a crust. So that cold butter keeps that air, that fat being really tight. So mixing together your flour, sugar, and salt, And then you want to kind of knead in that cold butter. So either using a pastry kneader, is that what it's called? A pastry?
I actually like to just use my fingers. I like press in the butter.
Yeah.
Because then you also don't have to wash that thing that has all those foolish holes.
Facts. Let's do that. Let's use our fingers here. Get in there. Just mix it in. You kind of want to turn your cold butter into small little peas in a way. Like you're just pushing in the flour and the sugar into that butter. And then the cool thing now is that the apple cider vinegar and the cold water go in. And then that turns it into that dough that we're used to filling. So now we'll get that dough consistency. And then also because you guys know that baking is a little more technical than regular hot item cooking, we do have to follow other certain steps, meaning we have to let this chill. So we cannot just go ahead and make the pie automatically. So
your pie will fail. Crust will fail if you do not put it in the refrigerator. Because the butter has to get cold again. This.
Yeah, we gotta make it a full, the crust has to get solidified. So, and you only have to do this one time to kind of realize like you have to do it. So,
yeah,
trust us.
I've definitely tried to cook a pie crust just because I was like, oh, I don't have time or I don't want to wait. And then, like, you just, why did I even make the pie without, like, there's no point.
Basically. So, we're gonna just let this be covered and chilled for about 30 minutes in your refrigerator. And while that's going on, let's jump into today's topic, guys. So the fear of moving on. I was actually really wanting you on this podcast because, like you said, a lot of things have changed since the first time we've been doing podcasting. So I thought like you would bring a different perspective to this because you've moved on in many ways. Mm-hmm. So, I look at the phrase of moving on. A lot of times people look at it as negative, but I look at it as positive because I feel like it's a new beginning, like moving on from something. But I get how it can be scary to people. So how do you perceive the phrase moving on?
So I think that moving on, even if you don't consciously think that it's scary, it is scary to move on. So since I've been on the podcast, I've gotten married. I've had a baby. Mm-hmm. I've moved into a new apartment. we went through a whole, I guess we're in the middle of the pandemic before, but like I've had several different job transitions within chefing because becoming a mother made me not able to work as much. So I had to deal with all of those feelings. And I think that, moving on is scary. And I found myself a lot of times in those transitions, like still holding on to this version of me that was in the past, like thinking like, oh, why can't I do all of the things? It's like, oh, because I'm taking care of a whole child. Like there's no, it's not possible for me to do all of the things and like have a full social life, work as much as I did, devote like all of my time. Like everything in my life now is much more organized because it has to be. Like there's only a certain amount of time in the day. And I was really holding on and sad about losing my freedom. Because like, without a child, your life is so free. Like you might have to go work really hard or like have other obligations. But to me, nothing in my life has taken away as much of my own personal life as having a child. Because again, they just rely on you. And as they get older, it gets easier and harder in other ways. But that first year, especially being a woman or the main prime caretaker, that's like I was literally feeding her like from my body. So, it's just insane. And I was so scared, I think, of losing myself and losing all this freedom that I wasn't really enjoying the present moment necessarily. Like even looking back in her last year of life, because now she's going to be two. So her first year of life, there were so many like sweet and special moments that I was just like, oh, like, why do I have to sit here and like be with this kid? And like, my husband is getting to do all these fun things. Like he's at this Drake concert because he has a super fun job. So like, and he travels a lot. So I'd just often be home like, oh, like missing my old life, you know? But now with a little more clarity and a year out and less hormones in my body, because my body has evened out, I'm like, wow, like that was a really special time. And I wish I had like cherished it a bit more instead of being sad about what I wasn't anymore because I became something different. And that's amazing in itself.
Yeah. I feel like you have the unique perspective. Like we said, just said, like you really have changed a lot in a short period of time. So to even have the clarity to look back on it is amazing to me because I don't feel like I mean, of course, I cannot even conceive of a kid. So the idea of even having a kid is a lot. Like, but even being in just like even getting in a serious relationship is like different, because like you say, you think about it and you kind of are going to lose who you used to be, but you gotta, you know, gotta get to the new normal of who you are now. Mm-hmm. It's slightly, I know it's not directly compared, but it's kind of like what a lot of people are dealing with COVID, you know, like we're never going back to the old way of life.
For sure. We're like, oh yeah, we're back to normal. I'm like, we will never be back to normal.
Like, oh, like, this,
like we're different. Like we're all dealing with like trauma. Like again, whether addressed or not, like COVID changed us. And in a kind of, I mean, not that COVID was a good thing, but I think for some of us, well, me, it gave me the perspective of like not needing to do the most also, you know, like it's okay to do less. You know, like before we'd be like, oh, I'm going to go, especially living in New York. I'm like, I'm going to go here and here and here and get on the train. And now I'm like, oh, I got to go like 10 blocks away. Like that's hard.
I definitely, it definitely changed me. And I feel like my thought pattern on moving on a lot of times is the fact that I move on from like a career, like you were saying, like you change your career style a little bit. And I mean, you helped me after COVID, because like I was also in a weird space of like, I was only doing one thing, which is going to people's homes and cooking for them.
It got taken away.
It got taken away. It was like, nope. So it was like, I think that was like one of my biggest career wise, and even just in my personal life wise, just like one of my biggest like times where I felt almost defeated. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't know what, like the idea of moving on was like so far away from me, I couldn't see it. But like you say, like now that on the other side of it a little bit, like I'm just like, I can't even imagine not diversifying my portfolio the way I have. But yeah, like COVID pushed me to do that. And
yeah, a lot of times like you're like forced to move on, because that's like the world is moving constantly. And you have to move. And sometimes you're just forced. Like, I remember the exact day like COVID hit. And I was like you just said, like so defeated and so depressed. Like, what is going to happen to my life? And I was legit like depressed for like 3 weeks. And then I started Chef Lean's Virtual Kitchen. I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So, yeah.
Yeah, same. I do think that most of people like stop themselves from moving on. And you didn't say it, but it kind of like closely to like just being complacent, because you kind of want, like you're saying with you, you didn't want to lose your freedom. But I feel like we do get very comfortable sometimes. So the idea of moving on is hard in general. So for people out there that, you know, maybe have not done any moving on, or like they've been kind of not vertically moving, but like laterally moving a little bit.
Same level. How would you're not leveling up.
Like what advice would you give them about moving on, like getting away from the complacency of it?
I mean, like I was just saying, like the world is constantly moving. So you don't really have a choice. And a lot of times you get really sad about endings. Like when you're just talking, I was thinking about, you know, dramatic high school girls, when you're just so sad you're leaving high school and graduating and leaving all your friends. And you're like, oh my God, life is never going to be like the same. But it's just an inevitable thing. And so I think that if you're scared of moving on or feel complacent, maybe instead of forcing yourself to, maybe just like pay attention to the way that life is already making you move on and kind of embrace that. Like, I think that's the first step. If you are not someone that's just going to like power through and like make a change and like, okay, I'm quitting my job tomorrow. But like really just look for the subtle changes that life is already bringing you and then embrace them a little bit more. Yeah,
Well, you guys, by the time you hear this, you already heard me say I am moving on from ships for a while. I am so serious. I am. So as of now recording this with you, I'm actually flying to Hawaii in like 4 days, but I'm only there for a month, and I'm moving on because honestly, when COVID happened, everything happened. I went back to ships because this opportunity came out of nowhere, and I kind of used it as my security blanket or my safety net. It was like the world was kind of doing this thing. I knew this thing was here I could do, and I kind of just like ran towards it. And I think now I'm moving on from it, and it was scary because it is my security blanket, but I kind of like, before all this happened in 2020, I stopped doing ships. I put everything into my business. I wanted to like really see how far I could flush it out. And I think now I'm ready to, I think I'm strong enough to try it again. But yeah, it's scary. I'm still scared. I'm scared talking about it right now.
I mean, that was something that I realized when I was working on ships, that like, it's amazing life, like amazing lifestyle. If you love to travel, if you like to have fun, you get to meet really cool people. But it's like its own world. So you're just like in that world and you're not really participating in the real world. So there's no really room for growth. In any other aspect of life, because then you do come home, but like for like a month or two, like there's not like enough time to build anything really. And when I was on the ship, I was like, oh, I'm gonna have all this time to write and like write this cookbook and stuff, but you just get pulled into the life on the ship. Like, you're not gonna lock yourself in the room and like work on stuff for the real world when you're like in Hawaii. Like, no, that's stupid. So I'm excited for you to take this leap of moving on from ships. You've had a great run.
I know,
people
right?
are jealous of all your photos and adventures. People meaning
and
me.
I won't take away from it, but also like, you have a crazy, like, don't let her fool y'all guys. Like, your life is amazing. And I think that's the other thing too. And I will say, a lot of times for me, I know my personal experience, sometimes I didn't move on from stuff because I was looking at other people's stuff and I was like, man, I need to get there, I need to do this. But you really do have to run your own race, guys, like, because nothing, like, our lives are completely different. Like, nobody's life's the same, so it just, you know, just pans out different.
You have to, and only you know, only you really know, unless the world forces you to move on, only you know when it's the right time for you to move on. For me, it was like one contract. I also met my husband right before I went on that contract.
Yeah, you know.
So I had to, it was like, move on in this relationship or stay on the ship.
Or,
so that was my choice. The world was forcing me in a way.
Nice. Well, before we get into more of specifics there, let's get down to this recipe. So the only thing we've done so far is get our pie crust made. You know, we're a slow cooking show here. You guys know how this goes. So but we only have two more steps, guys. So it's really, really going to be simple. So the second step I would do is to get my crumb topping ready. So while your pie crust is chilling in the fridge, getting the topping ready is really easy. And the next step to do. So we're going to get our flour, sugar, cinnamon, nutmeg, ginger, and some butter. But this time we can use either liquid butter, so melted butter, or even room temp. But we're going to do kind of the same thing where we're going to mix everything together in a bowl first, except for the butter. And then we're going to add the butter in with our fingers once again. We already got our hands dirty, so we might as well do it again. And we're looking for the texture to become like real crumb. So the crumb coating on top is going to look like granola broken down. So that's the texture we're going to go for here. And this is exactly what we want. So we can sit this to the side. And while we're here, we might as well go ahead and start this filling as well. So the filling is going to consist of two different bowls here, basically just two different bowls. So as I said, it's going to be an apple cheesecake crumb pie. So we're going to get the apple part of it first. So the apple part, my favorite apple is Honeycrisp. Do you have a favorite apple, Chef Lynn?
I mean, those are my favorite to eat, but they're so expensive. I don't really bake with
them. They are very
expensive. Like $5 an apple. But yeah, those are my favorite apple for sure. They're very good.
So yeah, as she did mention, though, they are pretty expensive. So I say it's my favorite apple. I don't normally bake with them. I feel like because I don't bake a lot, I do use, like, I'll buy something and I'll just use it because I got it. So if I already bought them to eat, then I'll use them in a recipe. If not, then I'll actually go with the Golden Delicious. And,
you know, I actually use the green apple, Granny Smith apples, like a mix of those, because I like the tartness for apple pie.
Yeah,
a mix of that or like the gala apples. Like, I'm really not an ingredient snob necessarily when it comes to cooking. I feel like you can make anything taste good. But those, like, I always use a mix generally when I'm making apple pie, at least like two or three of the green Granny Smith apples.
I do like the idea of the mix because I do like the Granny Smith apples and the tartness. So yeah, let's do that. We're going to do a mix today, guys. We're going to do some Granny Smith and a Honeycrisp if you have it. If not, then any other apple with a Granny Smith to get that kind of tartness in there. So half and half. The most important thing here is to go ahead and peel those apples, though. It's like one of the few recipes that you don't want apple peel in your recipe. Yeah.
It's annoying, but you absolutely have to peel your apples. Do not give me apple pie with skin in it.
That just doesn't even, So peeling the apples first. And then the second thing I like to put in here is a little bit of orange zest. So I use a lot of citrus in a lot of my recipes. I think it like brightens it up. And I like the kind of like zestiness of the orange, if that makes sense. So a little bit of freshness Zestiness. And then we're going to add some cinnamon, flour, and salt. So this is going to be our first mix. This is going to be the apple portion of the pie. So mixing this all together in one bowl. And then in your second bowl is going to be the cheesecake mix, which will be cream cheese, vanilla, egg, sugar, and a little bit of cornstarch. And I don't normally add cornstarch, but I was doing a little testing myself. Also reached out to one of my friends back at America's Test Kitchen where me and Chef Lane used to work. And adding cornstarch in here works because of the fact that the apples are going to be a little more liquidy on top. So I need my cheesecake to be a little more sturdy than I normally would, especially because we're going to be putting it inside of a pie. And just don't want that soggy pie crust underneath so that I can actually pick my pie up.
Yeah, that sounds gross. Almost as gross as apple skins.
Yeah, we don't want either one of those things. Apple skins or soggy bottom apple pie. Like, So we're going to add all of that together and have those two. And then before we get to our pretty much almost final step, let's get back into the questions here, because as you could imagine, like, we're almost assembling this pie. So let's go ahead and jump back into the questions. So I stopped this right before we got kind of specific on, you know, moving on and things. But are there any signs that you look for in business relationships, partnerships, anything that for you personally, because as you mentioned, like, we all have different signs, but like for you, what are some signs you look for when, you know, you're like, it might be time for me to go. Yeah.
For a lot of jobs, I've been almost forced out, like, to move on. It's like obvious that this is not working anymore. One job that like kind of set the stage for my whole career, the chef had hired me. And then she came back and basically like fired me. She cut all my hours. And I was like, it was for no reason. It was just personal, literally. And I loved the job so much, but I was like, you know, like I can't be here. Another job, I was working at a restaurant. It was dirty and gross. And like, it literally made me hate cooking. Like, I woke up one morning and I was like, I can't go to work. Like, I just can't. Like,
oh,
I
can't
be in here. And that was a sign, obviously, that I shouldn't be doing that anymore. Another job before I was even a chef, I worked at Old Navy. I was like an intern for En-ROADS. And I hated it also. Like, Old Navy, folding clothes, retail life. God bless the people that do that, because you deal with the most craziest people, entitled people, and you fold clothes all day long. I like the organizing of it. Like, you know, like setting the stages or like, I forgot what it's called. But anyway, again, I had a moment of like, I just can't go to work. And I literally quit. My mom was so mad because at the time she was still basically supporting me. And that was a good paying job. I was getting $15.72 an hour, which is like unheard of for 19.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But I literally was like, mom, I quit the last 3 weeks. And she was so upset. But I was just like, I can't, like, my soul, like, before Beyonce sung, you are breaking my soul. I cannot come here. But I do realize that that is a privilege that I've had throughout my life too, right? Because some people feel that and they legit can't, because they have, I mean, now I'm more in that situation because I have a family to support. My rent is a little bit higher. Like, there's people that rely on me. Back then, 19, like, whatever, what's this 3 weeks really going to do? Also, my mom can help me. So again, that's privilege. That's just being 19 and annoying. But at the same time, we get trapped in these like roles that we play in life. A lot of us are so trapped in money and like equate a lot of our value and worth tied with money. And I challenge everyone to really like evaluate their relationship with money and evaluate why you need money and why you're doing things. Like, money is just a tool. And even if you have people relying on you, there's always a way to figure it out if you really want to do something or if something is really breaking your soul. Like, there's no reason that you should just be unhappy, like going to work every single day. Again, I'm recognizing this is a place of privilege, but also like I've sacrificed things in my life to live lifestyles that I wanted. Like, for example, when I first moved to New York, I lived in a closet basically, but it was $540. And like, I was just explaining this to my friends the other day. I was like, I've had really good luck with like, you know, finding cheap rent places. And they're like, Kathleen, you lived on your couch and rented out your room in LA. I was like, but I was paying $300. Like, so like at the same time, you have to be willing to make those sacrifices to like make yourself happy and not, again, not get so caught up in what you think the world wants you to be, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like a lot of times we are trapped by money and the idea of like what we're supposed to do that we just like get trapped. And I think for me, because I used to be a very, you can ask my mom, I used to be kind of materialistic. But it's because I grew up with nothing. So like growing up without stuff, it's like when a rapper or somebody goes to like, they become a sports person, like on a team. It's like, if you grew up very poor and then all of a sudden it's just like you get money, it's like, I want to get all the things I never had now. So
as soon as I started, what is that really bringing you? Because even I had this thing when I buy just so much. Well, I was buying a lot of stuff for Nola, my daughter, and I'm like, she doesn't even care about half of this stuff. Like, am I just buying this to make myself feel good? Because like, it makes me feel good to be able to give her stuff. So I like had to check myself. And I think a lot of people don't have that self-regulation. Because it takes effort and work to think about it. Think about why you're doing the things that you're doing. And not just filling yourself with like these material things.
Yeah. Mine was forced. Like you were saying earlier about being forced. Like I didn't have that self like evaluation until I had a cancer scare. Oh. And like, I got sick. And like, once I got sick, it was just like, everything kind of changed. Like you say, like all the things I thought was bringing me joy and like, I'm doing this. And most of the time too, you're doing it for other people. Mm-hmm. Like you're not even doing it for you. Like you're getting that new pair of shoes or whatever. So you can show off to other people to be like, hey, I got these shoes. Mm-hmm. When you don't even like the shoes. And it's, and it's like, after going through that, I was like, I kind of changed my whole life. And that's really when I started traveling more, like doing stuff, because I wanted more experiences in life than like just materials.
Yeah. For me, that's super important. Like experiences over everything. Like I don't need the fanciest shoes, car. Like I just need a car to get me a place. I just need a bed to lay my head down. Again, now I have like, started from the bottom in that closet. And now I'm living across the street from Central Park. Like I have submitted a little bit into these like more luxurious things. Like, and that's okay. Like you can like nice things, but just understand why you like them. Like why do you want this?
I think though, and you touched on it too, like for you, it was getting out of that situation of thinking about, I mean, now your priorities completely changed where you said like you're not trapped, but you have priorities now. And, you know, like you look at things differently. I think I was the opposite where like I used to feel like I was supporting my family a lot and doing so much. And now I'm on the side you were on. You were 19 a little bit where I'm just like, you
can't
know
do
what?
This anymore.
Can't do it. Like get somebody else to do it. I'm sorry. Like it's beyond me. Yeah. But it's above me now. It's like that kind of gave me the inspiration to even like start my business in the first place. And then also like restart it now, because I kind of just feel like, you know, we are as creatives out here, and also blame boomers. I constantly tell my older family, like, you made us this way, because they always say like, you know, like you guys are, like you were saying earlier, you just left the job because it wasn't feeding your soul. But I feel like I was inspired to do that kind of stuff because I would see my mom and my aunts like talk about how much they were trapped in their jobs. And I was like, you don't want me to do that, right? Like you want better for me. So this is me doing better for me.
I mean, also like, it's not like at 19 I did, but now when I make, I guess, quote unquote, rash decisions like that, like I'm willing to do the work to get where I want to be, you know, like I'm quitting, but I'm also going to work really hard on this. Like, for example, right now, currently in my life, I've realized that I really want to open this brick and mortar, this concept. I have like this amazing idea. I'm very excited about it. It makes me energized to think about working on it. It's a huge undertaking, but I also realize like I can't also work in the same capacity, like work to make money while I'm developing this. Like you can't really build a whole business while you're like halfway. No. So I'm going to have to take a step back, maybe financially, to be able to devote time to work on this dream that eventually will make money, but currently it's not. And that was like a huge realization for me because I was really just trying to do it all because again, I have priorities, I have responsibilities, but there's always a workaround if you are willing to put in the work.
I think that's the part that you guys really need to get, like, or need to understand. And that's to my younger people. And a lot of people reach out to me, like, even just being a personal chef, you got to put in the work. Like, it's just like, that's the most important thing. It's not like you just push the easy button, guys. Like, this, a lot of times people hear the word sacrifices, and if you haven't just like severed your arm or sold a kidney, they don't think you sacrificed. But like, you got to make the sacrifices to kind of do the things you want to do. So, and that might look different for a lot of different people. So, one of the sacrifices for working on ships, what Kathleen was kind of touching on was like not having a real life. Like, you know, like I haven't had a dog in like 6 years. Like I haven't had an actual relationship that like lasted because, you know, I'm going back and forth, like haven't seen friends and family at certain times. So it's like sometimes sacrifice look different, but you know, you got to decide what works for you.
Yeah. But really like putting in the work because it's so funny. My dad calls me, my parents are retired now, but he'll just call me like on a random Wednesday and he'll be like, oh, must be nice. You're just sitting around doing nothing. Mind you, I'm watching a child now, but I'm like, I'm not doing nothing. Like I have random free time because this is the life I've created, but there are times where I'm working so hard or like, you know, but parents, because they think, or older people, they think like, you know, a job is 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. Even our friends, like, because Chris and I both have very loose schedules. But we make sacrifices in other places. And also, this is a life that we've designed. We want this kind of lifestyle. So it's important to us. So we're working to maintain it.
I like it. So while you guys are maintaining your lifestyle over there with little baby Nola, well, let's get back into this cheesecake apple pie recipe. So we already got our filling made. We got our topping made and our crust is ready to be baked off. So the first thing, which we could have did earlier, I kind of forgot about it, was that we do need to do a small blind bake, meaning that we need to put our crust in our pie tin and get it to the shape that we want. So actually making sure that you push it down in the bottom of the pie tin is very important. It's going to have some overlap for this. And for this, especially because we have so much stuff in here, I like the overlap because we can do what we call a double crust to kind of fold that crust on itself. They have like a really nice sturdy shelf there. And we do need to blind bake this. So we need to put it in the oven for about 10 minutes just to kind of get the crust almost done. Because as you might imagine, cheesecake doesn't take any time. And the apples are pretty much also going to be very, very fast in the oven because we're not cooking them all the way through to be applesauce here. So, you know, you want that kind of texture in it. Yeah.
Also, small tip for the pie crust. We've already refrigerated it, but like once you put it in the thing again, I like to pop it in the freezer for like another 10 minutes just so it's like super cold when it goes in the oven. Again, it's like kind of annoying. It's so many steps and it takes longer, but it really improves the crust. I actually learned this, America's Test Kitchen, all the science-based stuff, because when the crust is super cold and it goes in the fridge, the butter releases steam. So it makes it more flaky as opposed to melting.
And I worked there too. And I didn't even remember that. So.
I got like super into the science stuff about all of the food things or the reasons why.
I was at first. And then like you left, you know, to go off and get your life together. But the more I kept doing those shows, the less and less I was.
That's true. If you do the show 100 times, you're like, not exciting anymore.
Yeah, it was, which is why I moved on, guys. but yeah, I like that tip though, because yeah, the the flakier of the crust, we all can agree it's going to be the best. So please do this tip. I might start doing this tip myself. So having it in the freezer, then popping it out of the freezer. Now we want to go ahead and fill it, which the cream cheese filling first, guys, on the bottom, and then the apple filling on top of that. And then we're going to put the crumb topping on top of that. So everything's going to go at one time. And this is because everything is going to cook pretty fast. It won't take any longer than 20 minutes. And we're just going to go in about 350 for this. After we do that blind bake, of course, I kind of missed that in there. So sorry, freezer,
don't worry, the recipe, it'll bake. Be a written recipe. You don't need to get the facts from this podcast because the recipe book is coming soon.
Thank you. It is coming soon. I promise. But after we get everything in here, we can pop this in the oven. And while this is doing its actual bake here, let's go ahead and wrap up our show with our topic today, which I would say the last thing about moving on, I would say, what is the last thing you moved on from? And looking back, was it a good move or would you have done things differently? You moved on from a lot of things. So just interested to see the one that sticks out of your mind.
The last thing that I have moved on from was, I'm trying to think of something personal and not work, because we've talked a lot about work.
Yeah.
Actually, so in my marriage, I've moved on from the need to always like be right or like not say sorry.
Ooh.
Because I've been told I can be a little condescending when, what? You know, we have disagreements. And I've really made more of an effort to try to understand his point of view. And like, that's a thing in long-term, I'm not an expert, but in my relationship, I've learned that you're not always going to understand your partner, and that's okay. Like, we think of relationships as like these, you know, what we see on TV, like everything's rainbows and butterflies, mm-hmm. and like, you're always going to understand each other. And you, that's like what makes a perfect partnership. But really, I don't think that's it. I think it's not understanding each other and being okay with that sometimes. And I have moved on from the need to always understand Christopher, because you know what? I might not understand why that makes you so upset, and I might think it's crazy, but it's still your real feeling. And so I have to respect that, you know, no matter how I feel about it. And that translates actually, glad I learned that lesson a few months ago, because now it's translating very hard into toddler life. Like, I don't know why you are so mad that you can't go outside at 9 o'clock at night. But, you know, I have to respect your feeling. Like, I get it. So moving on from like needing to always being right and always like understanding, because sometimes you just don't understand another person, and that's okay.
That, oh man, it's like words of wisdom. I'm going to use that. I'm not there yet, but, but I like it.
It's hard to get there, but you just realize like it doesn't always need to be a battle. It's just like, okay, I'll just respect, because ideally you're in relationships with people that you respect, right? Like, I care about you. I respect you. So I just want you to feel okay generally. Like, and that sometimes means that I might not understand, but that's okay.
Yeah. Nice. I feel like mine's also personal, and I was thinking the same thing, cause I said a lot of things about work stuff, but, I feel like mine's a little less personal than that, I feel. But I think mine is moving on from always saying yes to stuff. Like, having the power to say no.
Oh, that's a good one. Because young us like, wants to be always there in the mix, like needing to do things. I actually learned that lesson too in the last year, because I just can't do all the stuff. But that's a great one. Because we do feel like all these responsibilities to other people, or like even to like celebrate birthdays and just being like, I actually don't want to go out tonight. I don't want to drink. I don't, like, I just need to like be alone.
Yeah.
That's a really great one.
And I always thought you couldn't just say no. Like, you needed a whole story or scenario why you couldn't go to somebody's birthday, or like, but then what you just mentioned kind of helped me you're in relationships, in any kind of relationship, friendships with people that you respect. And that's, you know, like, so saying no to them, you don't need to have a full explanation because it should be mutual respect and like love there. So I, yeah, it took me a minute to realize that, but I am. So if I did not show up for your birthday party, yeah, I still love you.
He was reading books and lit candles and just, you know, woozying in his room.
That is, you know, side note, that is something I am trying to do. I'm not reading books and reading book candles, but meditating. I am trying to meditate, and I don't. Shout out to everybody that can meditate, because sitting still is very hard. Like, I've not mastered that yet, and I'm trying.
I like meditating. I also like hot yoga. I think it's a great tool for meditation for people that don't like to sit still because it's so hot. You have to just like think about yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a good app that I have that's very useful. And you can do like a 5-minute meditation. Like, that's something you could commit to. 5 minutes, 2 minutes.
Yeah, I could commit to 5 minutes. I could try that. You know? But All right. We share a little bit of our personal lives here. So before we actually do wrap up the show, we do need to finish cooking, guys. So for our last step here is to take our pie out. And the best thing about this recipe for me is that you don't have to wait. So you can eat this hot. You can eat this room temp. I wouldn't recommend eating it too cold. And that's just because as it is a cheesecake, it still has that pie crust. And I don't know. I don't really like cold pie crust at that. Yeah. Maybe just a personal preference. Like,
but you do have to, even if you don't eat it all in one sitting, you have to keep it in the fridge because of the cheesecake. Because normal apple pie actually leave out, but like with the cheesecake filling, you have to put it in.
Yeah. That's fair. But take it out and have it like room temp for like 5 minutes.
Cake, you know, you like, take it out and let it sit.
Yeah. And then also, if you want to step this up a notch, I feel like a caramel sauce would be good on this because it's got the apples and the caramel sauce. Y'all know I like bourbon caramel. So
I don't know why bourbon, like,
caramel on there.
While you're describing it, I was literally imagining like caramel just dripping over it.
See. Also, y'all heard that caramel because we're from different parts of the United States. So all my international listeners get a kick, and I didn't know this, like, about how I pronounce words. And I'm just like, yeah, but I'm from the South, but it's like so many different people and dialects in America. It's just crazy sometimes. I forget about it, but yeah. So caramel. Get a little caramel on top.
Caramel.
But yeah, so we actually finished the recipe, guys. See, I tell you, I cook sometimes. So.
I wish it could be here in front of me. And
I know. In
this imaginary place. We can't wait for the cookbook. When's it coming? Summer, end of summer? We're going to put some dates on this. You know, listeners, put some pressure.
Dates are crazy. Sooner than later.
No, you need a fall 2003, August 2003. You need a date.
I definitely can commit to say the cookbook is coming before season 5.
Okay. That's Bam. Something.
I can say that with full authority. All right, before we get out of here officially, is there any last gems or any last standings you want to leave the people with about moving on?
If you are thinking about moving on, just do it. Don't stop thinking about it. Just do it. One of the questions you asked me earlier about, like, what do you know the sign is? Like, we all are very intrinsic people. If you just, like, listen to your gut and listen to your brain, we get so distracted by so many things in the world. But like, if you just take a moment of silence or meditation, you really know what's best for you. Like, you are the only person that can make the choices for you. And you know when it is time to move on, and you'll be a better person for it. So go on, go forth.
Go forth and prosper, guys.
Yes.
That was really hard for me because if y'all don't know, my birthday is May 4th and I really don't like Star Wars that much. So. But thank you so much for joining me today, Chef Lean. And please, before you get out of here, let the people know what you got coming up, how to get in touch with you, how to follow you on all your socials. Just give them all the rundown for you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. So much fun. I just really wish I had a piece of this apple pie cheesecake situation. But you can follow me at Chef Lean basically on every single platform, Instagram, my website, cheflean.com. I started doing TikToks, y'all. I'm funny. My husband doesn't think so, but I think so. And yeah, Chef Lean. I just wrote an ebook about meal prep. So if you're interested in meal prep, you can go to my website and buy that, or my Instagram. The link is all there. It's giving you systems to be an efficient meal prepper. So it's not really recipes, but it's giving you like the tools and guidelines of how to multitask in the kitchen and set your kitchen up so you're successful and being able to feed yourself and your family. So check that out.
That's what's up. See, that's inspired me to finish my cookbook, because you already did yours and you put it out there. So I like that. So thank you guys once again. Thank you, Chef Lean, for being on, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thanks. Peace.
Thank you for listening to Cooking Your Way Through Life with Chef Hollywood.